Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Growing Positively. Today, we are going to be discussing on Growing Positively, the Human Connect. Let me roll back to what we covered in our previous season of quote-unquote on happiness. We had several speakers who had decoded what is happiness and how to gain happiness from different perspectives, including corporate. And towards the latter part of our season 3, we had Gallup, who had presented to us their book on unhappiness and the rise of unhappiness. However, if you see Gallup's World Happiness Report from 2021. It has been highlighting that there is increasing loneliness in the world and it impacts happiness in you. Let me just bring in the context of why we are talking about human connect and loneliness here. It's a human DNA and brain to connect with other humans as we are most evolved species on earth. Human connection lowers anxiety, depression, suicide, ideation, and how it improves our connection with ourselves and better connect with us. You know, while I was doing work with Lilly Neurosciences, with our team of scientists, I happened to meet on a dinner table and had a side discussion with the head of Lilly Neurosciences, and he happened to be an ex-Harvard professor and head of department at Neurosciences. And one of the things that struck me at that point in time was that over 95% of our brain neurochemistry is yet to be evolved and studied by our different sciences in chemistry, biology, and what have you. And that seems to be the fact that we know very little. And with the advent of social media and technology, we seem to be going the other way rather than improving to our brain and our neurochemistry in our brain. I want to bring in a quick stat here. CPP Human Capital did an international study in 2008 and they asked the question to people to tell them about conflict. And startlingly, 85% of the respondents said, yes, they have conflict with other human beings at times in their life. And almost one third said that they have conflict with others in their life always or frequently. When they were asked about the conflict between others, nearly half of them said the conflict is due to personality clashes or ego. Now, as I studied this, I looked at my own personality and compared it with other people who I have connected and how I have resolved it. I'm going to talk about this with our guest today as well. But let me come back to the topic here. So, does human connect vary from personality type to personality type? Is a question that is intriguing. And as we did our podcast on unhappiness with the Gallup team, it made me wonder, what are those dimensions of happiness or unhappiness, and one of them being loneliness, and how do we really improve or increase our human connection quotient? To discuss all these, I have an interesting author, business coach, and global strategist. Let me invite Manoj Gurshani, who is an author who has written an interesting book called The Human Connect. When I read the book, it read like a quick ready reckoner for Human Connect 101. A quick introduction to Manoj. He has several accolades both in his work as well as in his personal life and social life. He's a co-founder at Veera Healthcare Technologies, executive director at Mumbai Global Chamber of Commerce, chairman of US-India Investor Forum. And on his philanthropic and social side, he's the managing trustee of India Relief Foundation, an NGO which works towards helping poor people for their healthcare needs in rural villages in Maharashtra. Like me as a Rotarian, he's the past president-elect 23-24 of Rotary Club of Queens Necklace, Mumbai. So welcome to our podcast, quote-unquote, with KK. Manoj, it's a pleasure having you here and it's very exciting to talk to you on this topic of growing our human connect positively. So let me begin by what we have concluded from our previous podcast and start by asking, why are more and more people in this world lonely?
So thank you, KK, for having me, and it was lovely speaking to you offline too. Basically, I'll dive into the question, and thanks for the kind introduction. Why are you lonely? So one of the things is, and that's what I tell people, in today's time, first time in human lifetime, when science, technology is at its best, we have connectivity on social media at the fingertip. People are digitally intoxicated or addicted on every possible gadget you can think of. I've heard of a four-year-old child so immersed in a mobile. So all that is happening. Why is the loneliness? Because if I go back in our childhood days, when we were in the mid-teens, we used to go down in the context, in Indian context, play cricket, play other games, go to neighbor's house. Even if you had to simple ask for a bowl of rice, I think my mom and everybody could just do walk across each other's house, meet in the building society complexes, have various cultural programs. So that allowed us to stay in touch, and there was no apprehension. We felt, okay, it's a neighbor. I remember earlier days when color television had first come in India. Now, I recall, as kids, we used to just go down to a neighbor's house, all of us were sitting in the house and watching I Love Lucy and all that. I mean, there was no apprehension, no pretend. Today's day, even if we are actually meet our or talk to our own children or anything, we have to say, okay, do you have this much time? And I need to calendar those time, because I'm not being judgmental. That's the way it is. The work pressures have increased. Pressure on the top management has increased. Everyone, whether it's a housewife, housemaker, to a CEO of a company, everyone is challenged in their own way. And I think somehow, instead of talking to people, expressing their needs, they might have thousands of people on Facebook, on WhatsApp, they still are processing it internally, overthinking the whole thing. And that's why there is that purpose of aspect of loneliness, aspect, because maybe the trust factor is missing. Maybe they're feeling, oh, what if I share? Am I vulnerable? So there are multiple answers to that question. And all I would like include is through technology. So we escape to technology. So if you want to listen to some therapy, and earlier you would call somebody, call a name. Now you'll say, okay, let me YouTube it, who's the particular. But everybody needs a quick fix. So that isolates you, keeps you more lonely. So the message is, it can change. We have so many people around us. Reach out to your college group, your school group and all that. And don't be afraid to ask a question. So I would say, if you start, somebody practice that. So there is no fixed formula. The loneliness, slight some extent, and I would say depression and overthinking will start dissipating.
Great icebreaker for us. Manoj, I have a quick basic question. How do you define human connect? Because you've written a book, I'm sure you've done enough body of work around it. So according to you, what is human connect then?
So I would give you multiple answers. First of all, human connect is the way I live my life. I was talking to some forum yesterday, and I thought, I like somebody said, Manoj, I read your book, what you've written in your book and what you practice and how you speak, it's like the same. It's the same person. So for me, human connect is a way of life. It's a lens which you have to change internally. It's like your consciousness. Okay. So I've started, and in my book I mentioned about, I keep telling people, list out the names and I'll come to an answer on the human connect, because there is an evolved answer. I've read many books on networking. The only one which I ask every audience, they say, who do you remember? They'll say Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence. There are multiple books. I'm not saying they're good or bad, but somehow Dale Carnegie, so many years back, which I read in school, still holds promise. So the point of the spirit was, because he was giving examples, storytelling, and you know, so I feel human connect is everywhere. Like you, I always talk with him. 2 days back, I went to there was some Dada Saheb Phalke Award, and somebody took a picture of mine, some cameraman. I told him, listen, this is my number. Can you WhatsApp me the picture? He just WhatsApped me the picture. It was with some dignitary. So WhatsApp me about half an hour back. I immediately on Paytm send him a small token amount. So for me, that is a human connect. Gratefulness. I could have just, and he didn't ask me anything. So I'm giving multiple examples. Me, I tell my kids also, when a Ola, Uber, Swiggy guy comes, your bill is 480 rupees. Don't take back the 20 rupees. Think like that. It's a human connect. It's not about money. It's about thinking. And I feel if you start thinking from the heart, and honestly, you have to adapt it and meet people. And if you tell meet people, let's say I'm meeting KK first time, instead of me, and that's a human mindset, is what can I get? If you start from a giver's mindset and internally process that, you are making the human connect. Because in today's time, people are very sharp. We are a survival race, right? So we are, right. our antennas are all, what is this guy want? What is he going on? But heart, that feeling comes out, at least for evolved. And I feel human connect is actually connecting in a human main, not in the network.
From heart to heart.
Absolutely. And then the magic
happens. That's a great definition for connect. I'm going to delve a little bit more. But first, you mentioned about your book. I love reading your book, and I'm going to, for the audience and our listeners' benefit, I'm going to put the link of your book as well, if you permit, with the cover picture as well, so that they can definitely buy it online on Amazon and other links that will be provided. It's an inspirational story that you have related with your own personal experience in the book when you just read through it. But what led you to write a book on human connect? What was it, the COVID? What was the reasons? What was the trigger point for you in your life to write a book like this?
So I think the subject, as I told you, I practice, live a day-to-day life. And during the COVID time, I was sitting with my eldest daughter, Prerna, and she said, Dad, this is the best time, you always wanted to write. But because of, we have multiple responsibilities in non-COVID world now, we cannot really see that. And that time you were stuck at home. You were only attached to a Microsoft Teams or Zoom virtually or doing video calling. So we had a lot of spare time. And also that time, you felt the sense of pain. I felt a lot of pain. People dying of oxygen, concentrator. So when there is a black swan event or a trigger point, it makes you introspect more. You feel, what is the end life? There are stories you felt, villagers walking down. Tomorrow somebody, their own parent could not meet their child, vice versa, etc., etc. So then you tend to philosophize as a human being. And all that hidden things in me started coming out. And I started documenting it. So honestly, if somebody has to tell me, can you rewrite the same book again? I cannot. Because there was some sorts of source of inspiration which came in. And when I actually read it, I said, have I actually written it? So that's the kind of inspiration which came, inspired me to write and do things. So that was the reason I said, let me put it out. Like I have one of the things I put out in my chapter is like, listen, it's like everybody's rushing somewhere. We are like on steroids and everything. I don't know where the hell everybody's going, honestly. I'm sure many people do, but we are all on a treadmill who feel we're never going to get down and we are immortal, etc., etc. So I've written on that point and I felt, and there were a lot of musicians and artists I used to meet. Now suddenly no events, no wedding, no nothing. Poor guys don't even have the room bills to pay. I felt, so you started humanizing them. So I said, I need to document all this and simplify it. And again, I was always bothered about the term networking because according to me, still it connotes, it's very important, but it connotes a lot of negativity because again, people say, oh, he's got benefit. So I somehow, and it's a very global Western world, but I felt that is why I humanize it. And I was discussing various topics. What should I keep the book on? Somebody said connecting the dot, this, that. And then I brainstormed. I said, oh, wow, let's put it the human connect. So that's how it came out, whole thing of the book. And that's why the name Human Connect.
Great start to your book. I want to inform our listeners. The foreword of the book is written by a very renowned Indian producer, director of films. And he has written or he has made movies which are very notable. Three Idiots, PK, Munna Bhai, MBBS, and Sanju, amongst others. And I'm going to take up one of his movies or two of his movies where he has actually demonstrated the human connect very well during the podcast on how to grow the human connect. But let's first come back to what's into the book. I've seen that you have patented a technique also that you have formulated in your book. Can you talk a little bit about that patented technique or the framework that you have patented? What led you to patent it?
So that's my book. And one of the thing is side. I call it simple. I'll explain it. And as you mentioned, for me, the most important thing is simplifying the jargon. Make it simple so that 10-year-old child can read my book and benefit, and a 70-year-old kind. So I will explain to what I mean. So I've used one thing called the side formula. So people remember by acronym. So I made it easy. What is side? We talk about, so I've used the word IQ. So social, S is the social quotient. Behave, how you're sensitive, etc. I'm just giving you the aspect, the framework. I is IQ. We're talking because we have a certain level of IQ, and you know, D is a digital quotient. Now, I was struggling with Microsoft Teams. You explained to me how to do it because I'm a Zoom user. But obviously, we use digital quotient in Zoom, WhatsApp, whatever. We are using Canva for designing. So that's the digital. And the E in my SID side is an emotional. And according to me, that's the most. Where does emotional quotient come from? From empathy. When, again, COVID time, or when you see somebody, if you're you're looking from the side of empathy. If you have lost somebody to cancer and somebody calls you or something, you empathize. So how can we bring empathy in our life? So that's my one formula, side. And the reason I have again acronymed it, because it's easier for my readers to read it. Because in today's world with so much extraordinary jargon, I wanted to de-jargonize. I now go to my another framework called BLINGS, which is B-L-I-N-S. So what is BLINGS? Again, to remember, so I'll say B is for body language. And in my Human Connect book, I've written, non-verbal communication is very, very important. And body language, gesture, regulation, eye contact. So I've written as B. L is listening. I was a very poor listener earlier. I used to interrupt conversation. And that's a journey I've learned that how to do active listening. So I called it the L of the B, blink. Then investment. I use the word I, that you have to invest time, invest in people, nurture the relationship. Then comes the N, the names. Name is the most important. And in today's time, people are struggling. We all struggle because there's so much information, so many people we need. Q is the quality versus quantity. And I will explain that. In quality versus, so I've been guilty of the same thing in my earlier rookie days when I used to go to a room to work or business. And I knew there are 100 people. I used to carry 150 business cards without meeting even eye contact. I used to go on distributing business cards. Now I realize all where it must have gone to the dustbin. So I realize now people, when they go, they don't have to look at quantity, make five connects. So that is quality versus quantity, which is explained in my book. And the last but not the least is staying in touch. I cannot meet couple today and say, okay, couple, tomorrow, can you do a podcast? I have to build a relationship. I have to stay in touch and vice versa. So Blinks is BLINQS, which I written. Again, I patented it because for the reason I said, acha lagta, patent is a word you use it, you know, okay. In that sense. And that is my second one. And then I use the word called frames. Now in frames, it is how do you remember names? And I have got entailing into frames of how do you remember, what is that? So again, I would want these people to read in my book because that's more mentioned.
Yeah, I don't want to steal the thunder as well. But just coming back to patenting of this framework, Manoj, if I want to use that, do I need to pay royalty or do I need to just refer you?
Honestly, none of that. I always say, okay, when I said patent means I want that ownership from a social standpoint. For me, again, let me step back. For me, and I keep telling people when I'm either doing this podcast or I'm speaking tomorrow also to SNDT College, yesterday I spoke to somebody, is the purpose of selling the book. I priced it at less than 300 rupees the size. I think even a Starbucks copy is 420 coffee. The reason is because as an author and a humanist, I want people to read it so it can make it affordable. I want people to understand to the podcast. And every talk I go to, like yesterday when I went to this talk of some Indian business group, I mentioned my mission is if 5 people listening to me in the room can adapt whatever I'm saying and use it to benefit their life, my mission is accomplished. So to answer your question, no such royalty, no nothing. Let the tribe grow. Let more people benefit.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your kindness, because I was wanting to write something on the same thing and build it from my experiential journey.
Go ahead.
Moving on, and I urge the listeners to really go through the book. It's a very quick read. It's easy to understand and too much of research content, but a straightforward cookie cutter approach. And I really was impressed with this book. And that's the reason why to bring this whole topic up of being happy through human connect. I want to roll back a little bit to what I said on our introduction. There is a huge amount of incentives to have that human connect. That is getting anti-lonely. I would use a phrase like that. Because as what I discussed very briefly, the human brain and our DNA is geared up to connect to other humans as social animals. And a lot of our human neurochemistry is built on positive human connect, and the chemicals our brain, such as dopamine, which is the excitement of meeting someone special or someone new, oxytocin, which is stimulated by touch, which is handshake or pat on the back or a big hug, serotonin, which is a feeling of connection with other humans and experiencing a sense of recognition of accomplishment from others. While on the other hand, loneliness creates cortisol, which is a negative chemical released in the brain, and it leads to negative emotions like anxiety, nausea, despair, thought, jealousy, erratic thoughts, irrationality, and many other negative thoughts. The person, the director Rajkumar Hirani, has directed 2 films which basically ring a bell. One is Munna Bhai MBBS, where the guy basically makes a human connect through a hug. These days, I find we have become too formal, because whenever I go out, even if I meet someone, I give a side hug or a front hug, but people don't accept that. Why is this? Is it because they are afraid, or they are so close in a first level meeting that they just don't want to come closer on a body level? Or is it that they just do not feel confident enough to even get approached so close? Can you help me understand and decode? Is our brain getting too wired by the benefits of social media and the addiction of social media and the type of brain chemistry or neurochemistry released by our social media apps of connecting virtually, that we have now not been able to feel the same wavelength and connect and neurochemistry when meeting face to face? What's your view over here?
KK, you've got a very interesting viewpoint, and I think this is a huge subject for discussion from, as you said, mind, social standpoint, but I will attempt it in my own way, again, a simplified manner. So what has social media done? Every like we get on Facebook or Insta is the current generation. You meet a celebrity, you click or take a selfie, put it up, putting a video up, all that. So I think, again, in this world of instant gratification, which I feel is where social media comes in, it gives you the dopamine, the serotonin, everything which you mentioned about combination, you know, without the feel and touch, the virtual touch probably gives out oxygen.
Yeah, it's becoming mind numbing. I'm seeing that. It's addictive.
So it is there. So I'm not saying let's not cheat. Okay, let's for a minute hang on. It is there. Okay, what can we do? do. So we can, in our day, let's say, spend X number of hours on digital various platforms, from starting your day in virtual meetings to ending a day with Netflix, for example, and chilling or watching some Indian Idol on YouTube, whatever you want to do, or television, electronic. I feel to starters, and I'm again talking from a, it's not saying do that. So there's a current trend. So all we need to do is take out, let's say, to begin with, 1 hour in a day, maybe to reach out. If you're in office, you're going to a canteen, don't only sit on your desk and eat your home food. Go out, meet your colleagues within the group, outside. First start with office. If you're in college, go to a canteen, go to social groups, etc. To start, it is practicing being connected with humans one-on-one. We all realize Zoom had replaced and all virtual Microsoft Teams had replaced all our life during COVID, but we were waiting to get back to meet people. And I would love to, KK, we've been trying to catch up for a cup of coffee, but for situation beyond our control. But why did
correct, we life has been a bit crazy for me as well.
So I understand, and that is what we wanted to meet, but it's not happening, is a difference. But people don't want to. People are saying, oh, everything is, I understand it for the reason of geography, for the reason of, like today I had a meeting at Indian Merchant Chamber, physical meeting. I requested to change because multiple things came up. Because I said from Bandra, if I go to church, get it. But now, and that's okay. That's practical. But take out times in a day, in a week, or whatever else it is. There's so much going on. There is some art exhibition. There is some stand-up comedian. Start going. That's point number one. So you have to physically reach out, take that effort. Sitting in your cocoon room, in your frog, in your well, and in that comfort zone, is not going to meet people, go out. When you meet people, again, I've seen people are meeting the same bunch of people. Again, nothing wrong with that. Your college friends, friends, your comfort level. Here I mentioned in my book, out of, if you have, let's say, a scale of 1 to 10, still meet 7 or 4 till 7, but at the point, 30% of that, you start meeting or make it an agenda to meet newer people. Again, and it doesn't have to be what business he or she will get. It is just somebody's a great photographer, somebody is a great ornithologist, a bird watcher, somebody is a great animal lover, whatever. Go there, reach out. Somebody is doing a sitar thing, free concert, go, if whatever depends on it. So there you'll meet a bunch of like-minded people. You hang out. Moment you hang out, sometimes you have a business problem. You might not get it in a business forum, but suddenly you've gone to a concert, you're sitting next to somebody who's like-minded. You're connecting with all the senses you have. And in that zone, when you exchange views, it could be a college admission for whoever, or it could be a new job. So many people are laid off. You'll be surprised that magic happens. But the magic happens, to answer your basic question. So I'm saying you have to make it digital. Let the digital go. Let the physical aspect continue. And that, I feel, has to be an attempt rather than saying, does this work, that work? It's a state of affairs. My whole thing is, I'm not being judging at all. State of affairs, just giving simple pointers of how each one of us can prove our next.
You know, this trend is now, during our earlier days, a lot can happen over coffee. That was the tagline of CCD. These days, if I go to CCD because I enjoy the tea at CCD and not the chaios and the other chains of barista or Starbucks, I find them really empty, not the pre-COVID levels. And this is a worry, not just for the human connect, but also the food and beverage industry per se. And you see, the prices of coffee in all the cafes have doubled from pre-COVID. So is it that people are avoiding to meet at coffee shops, or just because the prices have gone up, or the affordability to connect with others over a coffee has dehumanized to social media or to WhatsApp or to video calls now?
So I think there are multiple factors. It could be a combination. It could be maybe instead of going to this coffee shop, they'll say, let me have a South Indian filter coffee, which is cheaper and better, whatever. That could be one aspect, cost perspective. Some would be the digital perspective, if I can meet virtually and things like that. And some nowadays, when these dating sites are there where people want to meet for coffee at a central place. So maybe they want to meet at a coffee shop for that. Maybe they're going away somewhere more intimate where they're not exposed to the whole janta of having coffee in a cup. So I don't know that reason, multiple reasons for that. But I, coming back to the earlier point, all we are trying to get it, I'm trying to get it, where there is a change in the mindset, where there is this reach out moment. And I'll give you again my example. Yesterday, I was sharing my talk with an organization called India Group. One of their members said, I'm a lawyer. I was working at a large law firm. I stepped out, started my own startup. My other co-founders know me. We hang around for a drink. I am struggling for business in my new law which I firm I've started. My partners, whoever earlier and their own firm, they have in fact access files, but they are not giving me the business. I know I'm confused what to do. Here I'm struggling. I said, it's so very simple. Because when you're going out for a drink and all that, and that's what I explained, maybe you're on a pretense. Maybe you don't want to tell somebody, you know, that I'm struggling. You're vulnerable. My straight up answer, no, honesty. Tell him, guys, we are friends. I want to tell you, maybe I'm having a drink. Boss, I'm in trouble. My startup has not worked out the way it is. Be candid and say, I want business. You have to help me. Sometimes you are hiding behind curtains. Express.
A facade is there.
Sorry, a facade. Oh, how can I tell my friends I'm struggling? On my Facebook, I'm looking good, or on my LinkedIn. But that's okay. But when you're one-on-one, and at least when you know you have a close bond, whether it's a college bond, old colleague bond, share, because you have an intimacy with them. And so do not hide behind those things. And that's why overthinking. Oh, what will that person think about me? Everybody has their own issue. Nobody thinks about anybody. It's each to his own. But when you have a good circle of friends, all I was saying is share, humanize, reach out. You'll be surprised. Somebody else will start sharing their stories. Everybody has stories to share. Some could be business struggles. Some could be family issues. Some could be parenting issues. There could be some could be educational issues. And when you start sharing, human beings by nature want to feel connected. But you have to, like in my book, I have, and that my daughter told me, Dad, for people to resonate with your book, show your vulnerability, not show what was true. So I've written in my first chapter about my vulnerability, how I was a shy kid and I took efforts to overcome that for my school now. So I'm exposing myself right to the whole world by saying, but I said, so what? It's human. We all go through our phases and we'll continue to go through. And that's my quick, unusual answer.
On the technology and social media, there is this new AI tool called ChatGPT, which has now become the panacea for all answers. So earlier, if I had a query or I wanted some suggestions or whatever, I would actually call on people in my connect and ask them to connect me to someone who's an expert. Now, people are seeking answer and problem this ChatGPT. Isn't this going to be another attack to dehumanize this human connect in the future?
So, yes and no. Yes, in the world of, in fact, everything is AI driven. You do Google. Google also use an AI algorithm. All of us, every technology is using algorithm. ChatGPT is now the new buzzword. They can make a script for you. They can make a presentation for you. I think except eating and physically sleeping, they seem to be doing everything else. But so that's one aspect. Use technology to your benefit. Okay. But the more, now imagine one part of the world going towards AI, ChatGPT, Google, whatever we are discussing, technology. And the other aspect of it, because we have a physical side, we have a social side, that is the question of loneliness coming in. So I feel when the world is going more towards AI, it's more time to also human connect. Use the technology, but let it not drive your life. There has to be a humanizing factor. In fact, I keep telling people, use UI. Of course, use AI. Benefits are there. If it helps you increase your productivity, use it to your advantage, but don't get addicted to it. It should not stop you from thinking, stop you from processing, because it's scary. And again, I'm saying technology is going to come. For everything, there is technology coming in, and we should be happy that, I don't know the exact statistics, what has happened in the last couple of years, maybe taken 70 years for this to happen, and it's growing at that speed. So I'm saying, let's use that, leverage that. But all along, the subject of humanizing the relationship, spending time with your family, kids are busy. Nowadays, I hear younger ladies are saying, we want to freeze our eggs. They're already thinking of that, because maybe we won't have time when we are so busy, our career option and all that. So I never heard about such things. Okay. So point is balance, work-life balance. Use technology, go for a movie, go for a play, connect with your family, have one day in a week where whatever Sunday, you all have to meet for 1 hour. That time, please put your phones away so that you have some personal time. Don't start looking at it and all that. So technology has its means. It will get better and better, but use it to your advantage. Don't let it dominate your life.
Got it. I just want to wrap up on this social media and the disconnect of social media with the human connect. You see, I did a podcast also earlier on social media and the impact of social media on personal branding. I'm seeing a lot of tom-tomming and of great one-upmanship about their stories. I do not know how true they are. It's just making these virtual stories without validity of the fact or what it is. And this seems to be actually making impressions with people who are maybe second degree or third degree connect. And I'm feeling that someone who I know posts sort of things is actually making a mockery of my connect with him. So I am now actually getting anti-human connect with people who I know who have been using social media to actually make, I don't know what they post in those reels. It's just not really helpful in me building a human connect. I'm getting more disengaged with some of these people who I had connected earlier. How do you now tell these people that this is not the right approach? Connect with more people or to make yourself a personal brand. Content has to be serious and not frivolous and not fake, right? And this is where moving from digital to digital is the biggest barrier for me. Impressions are just not making any impact on a dent to me.
Again, KK, very thought-provoking questions you're asking. And it is current, you're witnessing human life to a beautiful way, or rather very intent way. So the way I would look at it...
Well, that's the intent of this podcast, right?
Absolutely.
To bring some message message is to our listeners for them to reflect back what they need to do?
Yeah, huge time for reflection. So we are in a selfie generation. So I'm first saying what we are in and then the message. So as you rightly articulated, we are in a selfie generation. We use all those filters to look the best or whatever else it is. So it's a facade, it's a makeup, it's a lipstick and a polish or whatever we put a veneer to our lives. In fact, sometimes I feel if a person is in a miserable state, it's a contradiction. He will put the best post on social media to show his peers because they're always looking, oh, so many has so many likes. Why should I show my vulnerability? So everybody's putting their best face. And sometimes they're going through the worst depressive state, but they're putting up. No need to do that. In Correct. Fact, and you don't need to, don't waste that time. If you're in that stage, reach out to people who meet over a cup of coffee or maybe do a small call or whatever else it is, share your stories. So, and today I've seen sharing personal stories. And in fact, I feel that should be the trend without anybody judging because people want to, you know, they judge easily. Oh, and somebody's saying, oh, I was in college with that same person. Now he's holidaying in Hawaii while I'm at Juhu Beach. I'm just giving an example. Or I'm still going to Sri Lanka and they have moved forward. Oh, I was in this. I'm standing in my old Maruti, but this guy, you don't worry about it. It's not about where they have reached. It's about personal growth. Your mindset has to change from everybody requires materialism, comfort. I'm not taking away. I'm not trying to preach or I'm not trying to get into that philosophy. I'm saying basic needs are required. Once you get that fundamental and you have to struggle and you have to hustle and you have to do whatever we are doing in our lives. But beyond the point, and I'm saying extremely wealthy people, extremely resourceful people are the most loneliest people, are the most unhappy people because they're always competing. They're always saying next step forward, always the next vacation. They're concentrating. Change that. Think about content. Think about meeting wonderful people. Think about listening to a musician on the street, applauding him. Just if you start changing your lens in the world, look at the scenery, look at life. And when, like about a week back, my cousin expired. I'd gone for his cremation of his ashes.
My sincere condolences.
The point, but he was suffering. But in one way, I'm glad. But in one way, you feel the void. But what reaches out to you is, listen, end of the day, whenever you go, and I'm sure whenever we have go through a last rites for anybody, you start. And that, as they say, is a shamshani gyan, whatever you call it. It's only there in that 24 hours. So when you reflect, you say, what is life about? 24 hours. Nobody has a time. And you don't even know. Every day is 24 hours. And don't even know whether you get up tomorrow. So all I'm saying is, if you moment instead of only getting materialistic, as everybody has told, live in the now, enjoy the moment. Thank God for all the mercies we are breathing. I know friends of mine who call me, one of his daughters that doesn't have has one kidney damage, searching for a kidney, all the money in the world, they can't get it. So health is important. We don't realize we have a billions of dollar human body, which many have written about, but we tend to forget in comparison. So all I'm saying is be grateful. And for here, I will do one step. I'll add to that. Again, it's a break and it's a panacea for that because there are no easy answers. So every day, you know, I write a gratitude journal.
Okay.
Because when you're in a state of gratitude, you're thanking the universe all the time, whatever, whoever power you believe in. When you start saying, thank you, God, for it. I got up healthy. I ate fruits in the morning. Even I had a great experience, whatever, walking, egg, whatever you share, smallest thing. It doesn't have to be you cracked a big deal. If that's there, also great. But you start counting and start living. And also, honestly, I feel if you can help two or three people every day without getting from anybody, just your maid driver's son has some problem in mathematics, you solve that problem. Or somebody is unhappy, they want to speak to you. Just doing those small deeds will make you happy. And once you make that happy, now there's a trick to it. So people tell me, oh, you're a very giver. I said, no, I'm a very selfish guy. I'll tell you why. Because the more I give, the energy which comes to me, I feel better. When I feel better, I think better, and all the other, what you call
the brain chemistry, neurochemistry kicks in.
Kicks in automatically without me understanding what happens. I'm not deciphering what is the body in the mind, how many neuroscience, what is the prefrontal cortex, phalana, all that. That's okay. For me, living life, doing this, then you become magical. And then when you're in a state of, otherwise you'll say, oh, that person. And then we reflect, oh, that person. And you know what happens? 10 things happen. One, wrong things happen. Your job assessment or your salary assessment or your assessment didn't happen. That one thing we hold on to. Why aren't we talking about 10 things? So don't over process. Just live the life, say this too shall pass kind of thing. And you had put a thought about Vipassana. The beauty about Vipassana is that it tells you this too shall pass. Okay. If there is so much you are doing then there is no, we have craving and aversion. So we are saying, oh, I want this, I want this. Human beings much wants more. In aversion, we don't want it. So I'm saying, I'm not propagating any such philosophy.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about some of these things about quality and quantity and when we should be invoking loneliness instead of human connect, disconnect to the human connect. So I'm going to pick up some of these threads as well. Let me just talk about the quality and quantity aspect, and you also talked about it as well. And personality wise, I'm a very different person from how do you describe it. But I wanted to pick up, and this is basically on the social media aspect that we have been discussing right till now. Joined LinkedIn in way back in 2000 because somebody from San Francisco, which is where LinkedIn started, actually connected me and asked me to become LinkedIn. So my profile was 2,50,000, blah, blah, blah. That's how your profile used to be numbered as the new profiles came in. And most of the profiles that I connected were all my friends and people in the US because that's where LinkedIn was predominantly growing. And one fine day, there is an India CEO, Hari, now he's no longer with LinkedIn. He sends an email saying, hey, you were amongst the first million to be on LinkedIn, and now we are in India and we have an India page and we want to make you a lion. I don't know. That was a term, LinkedIn networker, blah, blah, blah. And that will be put on or as a special status. I said, why do I need it? Whatever connects I have at that point in time, LinkedIn was more with your own connects and spreading with your own connect. People you know in your work, in your extended work, that was what was LinkedIn. And then just because they wanted to grow their network in India and the number of subscribers, but my basic principle, even if I met somebody new on LinkedIn, was to first exchange mobile phones because that time there was no way to exchange details and have a quick chat just to know, okay, you know the profile of that person, what he's doing. But beyond that, and which has had a good way of networking for me, and I maxed out a lot of connect with LinkedIn by that way. And then suddenly this whole way of lions propping up, I simply said, I don't want to be a lion. I would rather be a cat amongst the lion in the food chain of LinkedIn. But I would share my thought, and suddenly the amount of invites and everything expanded. So how do you suggest with this whole change of quality and quantity that we also talked about on a phone call earlier, how do we manage this now? I simply now don't have that energy and now the type of invites that keep coming. Some of the times I just filter out saying, yeah, I'm not interested to even connect with you. I'm not a lion. I'm a cat. I'm happy to be with a certain cohort of connect. Maybe it's a large enough connect at this point in time, but I'm happy to be spreading myself with them rather than spreading this whole lion network of LinkedIn. So this comes to the whole philosophy of quality and quantity. How do you manage this? And that is the dilemma I'm having. I would love to get your thoughts on it.
KK, I think, you know, and I totally understand where you're coming from. Again, on the quality versus, I think time has come when we go through an evolution. And again, it's a human process. There were times even I felt like collecting cards and meeting as many people and showing you got thousands and hundreds of followers and all that meant a lot. If you're an influencer, you're monetizing, that's a separate story from a human perspective. And then, so current phase, I feel the realization has come. It's like, and I will give examples like physical events. Earlier, honestly, and I've been guilty of that. Every event I got invited to, I used to go there. But now I feel, is that worth it? Am I going to meet the whole 70% again? Am I going to have the main boring conversation? Am I going to be repetitive? So you start filtering. And I think that comes with awareness, which we want to create through this forum, consciousness, and saying, hey, instead of rushing to every forum physically, let me spend more time with my friends, close friends, parents, children, whatever, wherever you are. Okay, that's one part. Coming to online connection. Again, meaningless online request comes in, and there is a method of LinkedIn and Facebook and everywhere. We'll talk about LinkedIn as you mentioned that. Again, it's up to us. People will keep, as you get more popular, as you're an influencer in your own way, people will keep reaching out. Like if somebody reaches out to me just meaningless without context, I don't accept. But if somebody, even he's just a struggler and he's writing out or reaching out to me saying that I need your advice, can you help me with certain thing, when he messages me along with the invite, I honestly reach out, I respond back, I try to respond. Because there again, the human thing, because he's vulnerable, he's sharing, he's got an issue going on. And if I can be of any help with my wisdom, I have. So I think time is of quality, or whatever we do in life, okay, time we spend with our physical and virtual friends, energy we give it. And there are energy suckers in life. There are some correct people, whatever you do, they will troll you, they'll comment you, they'll do that. Do we need to even listen to them? And that happens in, by the way, I've known many, happens in office toxic environment for those people working in organization, large teams and all that. There are ego issue, there are somebody who's one-upmanship, there are toxic bosses, workers, etc., etc., which reduces productivity and other things. So all we need to do is that person, sometimes I've seen people when you're in a physical meeting, they will just come up to you and say some things which is unpardonable, rude, etc. Now, should you give that energy to that person? Should you engage? I think you have to learn to the art of disengage. If that person is not important and if that person is toxic, whom we choose? Is that whom do we want to spend time online and offline? It's a filter we have to create. There is no one answer to all that. But I think by practice, it's a consciousness and awareness. What I'm in LinkedIn for. So if I'm a job hunter, seeker, again, depending on what you're looking in life. If I'm looking for a deal of a specific thing, or I'm looking for an investor for a business, or I'm looking, or suddenly some company has laid off so many people and they're looking for that, then it's a different thing you're accepting or you're reaching out and etc. So, but the approach is quality, spend time with people who matter, spend time quality, engage, have conversation, have a deeper connect beyond business card, beyond their profile. And I think we'll be happy.
Well put, Manoj. I now want to shift from social and virtual to real world now. A couple of things. And I wanted to take up this whole human connect on two aspects or two dimensions. One is, you know, our Indian culture. And second is on our corporate culture. So let's first start with our corporate culture because get too philosophical with our Indian culture. So let's put that a little bit for a while. I am in this human connect evolution in our corporate culture and impact of it on our corporate culture, particularly post-pandemic. You see, during April 2020, then the reason to start this podcast was I was talking to a lot of my peer group, the CXOs, and a lot of them were very afraid and did not want to connect at a level to say, yaar, all's out, but I'm willing to learn. This is something new in our corporate careers and nobody has taught us, no business school has taught us, no board has taught us. We have to fend and what is your learning? So many of them were very closed about it. Maybe it was their corporate ego and I'm talking at the CXO, MD, CXO, those level people. And some of them were very candid to say that, look, I don't know it. It's time for me to hang my boots. If the board asks me to resign, I'm willing to resign. Now, these sort of people in my own human connect as a collective at a CXO level have been showing such diverse response behavior to a catastrophe, human catastrophe. And I kept wondering whether it's their ego or it's just their facade that they can't show their weaknesses as a CEO or a MD of a company, or it's their reputation that they've built that they say, okay, marna zaruri hai, so better to die rather than to survive and not be an MD. And their hunger to be followed because they lead a team, they lead a company. I found that during that time, that whole human connect, even virtually, broke down at this senior level CXOs. And I am finding it that many of them are still going through their psychological and other interventions of how to roll back or reel back from those catastrophic times and moments in their lives. But they still don't feel that they need to really connect with people and peer group more aggressively and learn from each other. What is your message of how they could improve this human connect quotient?
So again, thank you for a very nice question. So I would say, as they say, everybody is lonely on the top.
Correct.
First, it comes back from...
I'm also lonely.
Everybody in their own way. Degrees could vary, right?
Correct.
And so again, it stems back to the same human thing. Oh, how can I share? What do I do? Because if I share with somebody, what if somebody stabbing me from the back? Because they are very insecure in the position. They're making an X package per annum. They don't know whom to trust. Okay. They don't know. Maybe one of the things is if they're ex-company CEOs, etc. Some of them have their own coterie group. They can keep exchanging messages with them so that am I only feeling that way or others are also feeling. So it's always a good thing to talk to others in the group and you get maybe not. So within your company, sometimes it's internal, external. Internal, you might trust people and you tend to over a period of time. So confide in them. Somewhere you'll have to share that. And so one is that aspect. And there's no other way but to connect, reach out to your alum group, school group. Sometimes you'll be surprised. The school and college alumni and your business alumni groups are the best because they have that maturity, the business alumni. You all have bonded together, shared the same pantry or games you have played together. So there is one way to find out, to share. So I think they will get a lot of things. Other is again, moving out, meeting people. Most important I feel is every organization now has their CSR, social activities. You know, sometimes I feel the best bonding. So I'm part of a large club and I'm taking also as president, well, Queen's Necklace. The best relationship, we are 185 members. The best I have made is when I go for projects with them.
Correct. The fellowship and the project.
Building a dam, rainwater harvesting, whatever. But while we are traveling in a bus or a car or whatever, during that time, they're more relaxed. We do it in the evening or in the weekend. That time, not in a cocktail session, not in a room where there are speakers, but when you're in a outside. That's why people do outreach programs. Correct. So that team building, which companies do and all that, why do they do it? Because you're taking them away from the desk, more relaxed. You're going to a hill station, whatever, beach, resort, etc. So it de-stresses those people. So I feel same way. If I'm, suppose, let's say, if I'm a CSO of a large organization and I feel productivity. So one is my issue. Second is because it's task from leadership. You will feel your team members are also demotivated, because if there's no energy on the top, the energy percolates down whichever.
Correct.
So one of the thing is, let's get out, or let's, there are 10 mid-level people, let's take a break. Nothing stops in the world. 2 days, let's go out, whatever, and just talk about everything else. Share with them. Each one shares their personal bond, personal stories. I think somehow take out the business element. Don't talk about targets we are meeting. Don't talk about mergers and acquisitions. Don't talk about, oh, this company is going to take over us. Are we going to be there or not? A lot of IT companies are feeling that way, correct? Because so much layoff. But if you realize and tell other people, you are not alone. We are there together. I'm telling you, the moment you show you're cocky and you are the best and you do blah, blah, and you say, my God, my sun shines on my butt, then people don't want to help.
Correct.
You show that human connect, you're bonding, hugging a guy, mid-level management. So he will, if you're a boss in that case, then they will share, they will open up. I cannot overemphasize, you have to connect with your heart. You have to make people feel, yeah, chadmi, and he's not just driving me for targets. He's driving me because even he's got targets to achieve. But he's a good guy. He's asking me about my family. Or if a lady who had a maternity leave, he extended that. When a kid was born, he sent a small gift. It'd be small thing, or maybe a voucher. Or my mother was there in hospital. He inquired to talk about it. He's not just sending her. So if you start keeping those points, then suddenly the world becomes a family. Vasudeva Kutumba, as we all said. World becomes a family. And trust me, it will take away your anxiety. You don't need therapy. In fact, I know a big trend of therapists there. Everybody wants, it's like become fashionable, like in the West, to have a therapist.
Yeah, in Bombay Club, it's all there. My problem here is that some of guys, you've been coaching and mentoring some of senior level execs. Some of them are also talking to me and getting mentored by me. The biggest problem here is their openness and candidness. Unless as a collective, you may be doing wonderfully well, but unless you don't open up, you don't show that compassion and that zeal. I have these three words, Josh, Junoon, Jigar. As a leader, your human connect quotient is not valuable neither to your company, neither to the society, neither to your family even. You may be the best brand for CEO after bread, but that's your problem. And I fail to connect with such people time and again. Maybe it's the first impression or it's the way they come across. How do you tell these guys or give them feedback actually? Hey, boss, you're doing wrong. Your approach and your openness and you're not talking man to man, howsoever big or small you may be. And this is where I have trouble telling some of these people back off.
So it's a
nowadays I've become even more blunter after COVID. I don't respect those boundaries of whoever their designation and their social status is.
Okay, and I think that comes with experience and anything. So as a coach, you do it, I do it. So when I meet somebody very senior and he wants to at times me to coach him because he's lonely at the top, he has nobody to share.
Correct. But that's not for money I'm doing here. I'm doing for enjoyment and camaraderie. Yeah.
So I also professionally do it, let me admit, because I do it. But there also our role is he's paying you something, but then you have to be candid to that person, correct?
Correct.
And listen, because what happens in their case also, you can't even blame the mid-level employer, because he said, if I tell him a genuine feedback, I'll lose my job, because they don't want genuine feedback and criticism.
Correct.
And that big issue. So I think it also comes from consciousness. It all stems from an internalization. So if you are at a particular stage or you're so anxious, oh my God, M&A is going to happen, am I? Don't worry about it. If you're good, content is good. If your performance is good, people will not let you go. And if you're low on your self-esteem, loneliness, or other insecurities, going to impact your product. But if you are happy and you do whatever you want. So too much overthinking also. So I'm saying multiple effort. First, personally, don't overthink. Understand where you want to go in life. Again, it will appeal to different people in different ways. So there is a worry. So I'm saying dehumanize, make the human connect, humanize the relationship, reach out to people. If you're at the top, don't from the watchman who greets you or that doorman who tap him at the back. Maybe he had a bad day. When people notice, and you can't fake it, please understand. And why I'm saying, because you fake it, you can do it for 2 days. But if you wake it a way of life, and that's where the internalization has to happen. Now that could happen when he goes for a meditation thing, whatever he believes in, spirituality, goes for a nature walk, whatever. That epiphany has to come in. And the moment that happens, according to me, and only lucky people, fortunate ones, you might keep on telling anybody or we can say, but only when you're fortunate at one stage in life, you receive that kind of that little magical window to say, boss, let's do this, because this is the true nectar of life. If you got that, you're all psychotherapists, your medicine, your psychosomatic diseases, all this thing will go out of the window. You don't have to go to hospital for a day. No, nothing. Just live the moment, all that. So there are multiple answers. But for those who are listening, hearing, watching, whatever, I'm saying in summary, in this subject, live your day. Don't stress too much about it. Be happy. Write a gratitude journal. Reach out to those who are below you. and, you know, constantly just look at different things, go beyond your work, have hobbies. So I'll give you an example. I met the owner of Gold Gym recently, okay? And he was telling me a story about, his name is Jagdish Valecha, very nice guy. We've spoken on the phone. He said, let's catch up over a coffee, all that. And he was telling me how his story on how he first got the first national franchisee. So he was storytelling from the way he's become the Gold Gym thing, now the largest thing he runs. And how his now bucket list is, he climbed, now he's going to go to Mount Kilimanjaro, etc., etc. So at various levels of affordability, you can do whatever you want. Otherwise, you will say, oh, I am this so-and-so, but X group has walked faster than me. I want to catch up. That catch up will never happen. Okay? So what is comfortable in each one stage of life, enjoy that moment. More you enjoy it, the productivity grows. It's just a virtuous cycle.
I want to take up this issue of the lower level entry level talent during COVID. Most of these graduates and MBAs, they did everything virtually. They didn't even meet the batchmate. Talk about going to canteen and having a tea or coffee. And then they have come into digital work environment, and the company that they, organizations that they work was totally digital. And now when they are coming to office, they simply don't understand or relate to the core value or culture of their organization in the physical world. And also they're not able to connect with this whole hybrid strategy of work from home, and future workforce has to be doing a garh vapsi in a serious way with the human connect in their organization. HR is not really helping understand the core issues at the lower entry level workforce in their organizations. How do we now change this whole corporate culture in from a hybrid work culture or strategy to a digitally human connected organization?
So you're so right. So A is, I think it has to start from the top. So I think HR guys coach first of all, because are they sensitive enough? Like you brought this point, you called it out. Sometimes an HR guy sitting at a particular
top. Attrition dekhta hai na, input output kitna reh gaya, kitna chala gaya na. That's the way their metrics are.
That's why their story. So somehow somebody has to talk to them. Coaches like us, professionals, or if the leader sitting at the management board level has to. I think this message is more for the board level guys, not the HR guys, who in turn will percolate to the HR guys. Boss, are you understanding that these are COVID, let's say, or entrepreneurs or COVID workers or whatever, where they are suddenly thrown from a very virtual model, or they passed out.
They studied also in a virtual model during 2 years or 3 years of their MBA. Some of those batches that are now in the corporate side.
So two sides, correct? One is from the company. Let's take a company. Company side has to go from top down, is sensitization. Because do they, sometimes you don't know. You're saying why attrition is happening? I'll answer that question. Because that guy who's joining and the younger generation wants instant gratification. He's saying he might be getting paid more, but they don't care about my needs. And they might resign and quit a startup, which is paying them less, but they are happier in that environment. So for an attrition to reduce, consciousness, awareness. In fact, the more the company is losing their employees at a rapid pace, they should have a in-house brainstorming and saying, yeah, kyun ho raha hai? What is happening? And what do we need to do to change that? So that's one part. From the student, employer, employee, or for the guy who is working in that workforce, has to realize that, has to personally sensitize. There's nobody's fault. It came through the digital age. There's nobody to blame there. Now, they have to also do their own sensitization. Time has come. Let's say if it's a lady of the house, when she has a kid, I'm just taking that as an example. She was doing multitasking, managing the kitchen, because COVID time, you couldn't even have a maid coming in. Then you have to maybe do your kids thing online, education, look after your husband need, your mother-in-law, father-in-law, own parent, whatever happened. Now suddenly they're thrown, it started with hybrid, now it's full-time, right? People want you.
Correct.
So they have to realize those times were there to reflect this. Now times have changed. Come on, wake up. This is the way. Now prioritize everything. So good or bad, everything. And then so the employee also sensitizes, see, this is the way, competitive environment. I have to give
Manoj, I was really wondering, you know, this whole book that you have written actually is a great template with the HR and the entry level workforce to really understand the core connect at the middle and the senior level, because they are from that social media and this generation. The first shocker that they get once they walk into the office is that they are not able to relate and communicate with their peer group or their superiors or the mid management as well. And that is where it's really killing the corporate culture of what the company's ethos and what they stand for and how they work and how they collaborate, how they join hands together and win the war with the competitors or whatever in the marketplace or whatever their mission and purpose is. Now, this is where I guess I'm just leaving ideas on the table for you to think about what could be your next book or whatever that you think could be a real need, the corporate culture and the revolution that needs to come about given the way things are transitioning so quickly.
Yeah, no, same. I agree with you. And maybe food for thought for me, and sensitizing the corporate culture and telling the then humanize it. Everything it was human connect. If you connect from your employees to the employees, colleagues, to everything in vacations, giving them breaks. It's not just about giving them a break, which they're entitled to, reaching out, common things. I'll tell you, there are places, the best places to work, all that. I don't know how much you are. It's just a label or it's just a brand. I don't want to judge. But I'm just saying, it's again, we are individuals at first. We will reach out to people who are connected to us in times of crisis or you want to help somebody and all that. Same principle. And I always feel every employee and the management of the company should say that I have one family at home and I have one family at house. Because in the home, in the 24 hours, let me do another breakup. 8 hours, mostly if you're lucky, we get 8 hours sleep. Another 1 hour or 2 hours, depending on where you're traveling. Another 8 hours you're spending in office. 8, 8, 16 to 8, 20 hours you're away, either sleeping on it. So the only or 6, 7 or even if you don't take 20 in the time, you are at home. So you got a larger time you're spending at office. So there is one family at home. You have to treat your office as a family on both sides of the coin. The moment you do that and humanize the whole thing and have a chat, have a icebreaker session, no egos. The ego is from the top. Sometimes it's from the branch manager. Sometimes it could be the development, HOD, all that. Saying, karna kya? Is it a goal? So again, what is it you're living for? Here I bring a very important point. I wish I had that purpose of life. Ikigai. What is your purpose? So if it's a HOD of an organization, what is my purpose? Is it to have happy employees who will reach a goal? Then have happy employees, have everything. Then I will reach further. Or it's just accumulating people and sometimes less is more. Again, you could have a lean and agile organization. Pay them well, keep them happy, develop, achieve more. Take their inputs. Nobody wants to give feedback, and many top guys, because they say, oh, I'm giving a candid feedback. Maybe he'll say, oh, you think I didn't know about it? So there are ego issues, multiple personalities. So I'm just saying the human connect, I cannot overemphasize this, whether it's a personal life, whether we deal with children, spouse, parents, employees. Fundamentally, we can change, but the same fundamental principle, be a good human being, think well, priorities in life, what do you want out of, what is your purpose in life? And moment you do all that, you'll become a better human being. Your bosses, if the bosses maintain that, the employees will say, wow, aadmi achha hai hamara, you know, boss is good, let's do something for it. So you will build better relationships because you're a happier person. And with everyone, personal, professional life, and I think we'll be living in a happier world. And stay away from toxicity, who's doing what, government is doing what, religion, politics. Let's not add to our own woes. Let's talk about how we can improve the lives. And I always say is, people say, and I've written in my book, world problem, and I'm connecting it to human life. World problem, you want to say, I said, don't solve world problem. There are four people in our respective lives. Somebody cooks for you, somebody cleans for you, maybe if you have a driver, and maybe a watchman of the building. Have you reached out to them and found out it's not only about money? Do they need something? Whatever the needs are. Sometimes it could be a fan in the cabin which the watchman sleeps, and he doesn't have enough, you know, whenever he goes to sleep there. If you start becoming sensitive to four people around us, instead of sharing world views, you'll become happier, you'll make others happy. It translates joy, create joy, happiness, everything, and you'll become a beautiful human being. And I think then the human connect will happen. Otherwise, whatever we discuss, if your mindset doesn't change, I start with that, I end with that. Mindset, mindset, mindset. Change your lens. Don't go to the transactional mindset. What's in it for me? Be a giver. Universe will pay you 100 times.
So Manoj, I wanted to shift gears, talk about from the corporate culture to Indian culture. And as you know, in our culture and mythology, there's a stage in life called the Vriddhashram, the old age. And obviously, in the old era, people used to go into the forest or into the Himalayas and meditate and be one with the universe and God, right? In old age. However, now in this modern age, our old people, still our parents and our seniors, still live in the cities and villages. And obviously, they're not that productive to the society as they feel. They are now taken up connecting within their own peer group on WhatsApp. So the whole day, other than whatever puja and satsang that they do, they are on WhatsApp. Now, the major issue that I would love to understand is, the seniors feel that there is a generational gap between the youngsters and them. And they per se, a large majority of them, are not able to connect to the younger generation and guide them, tell them the stories, bring them up to date with our culture. There's a lot that they can give back through their life experience to the younger generation. How do we build that human connect between the old and the young is an issue.
So it's a fabulous question. And actually, it's this question very close to my heart. And I'll tell you why. Because I work with a foundation out of my social work called Graceful Living, which only deals with challenges of the senior citizen. So I'll tell you my views again, thoughts. So first of all, as a senior citizen, and I'll come to the human connect, I would request the times with medication, with technology break. Some people are dying at 40 also, 50 also, but some people, life longevity has increased.
Correct.
You're going to live longer. Okay, number one, please do not retreat to any mountain retreat or whatever. The universe is within you, number one. Two, there are cognitive diseases like Alzheimer's all these problems start when you are lonely and you have nothing to do.
Right.
I have heard stories where parent or some older person has lost his wife. And in fact, it's tougher when a man loses his wife because a woman can emote better and the man crumbles after his wife. And the wives have been seen holding better after she's lost hers because women can express themselves, cry, emote, etc. So having that background, first my thing is please do not retreat. You can meditate within the system internally and it's all within us. All of us know, and I'm sure as you're reaching that age, you realize that. You want to go for one or two retreats, continue doing satsang, virtually available. You can go to Gurdwara, you can go to Golden Temple online, Siddhi Vinayak online, anything you can do, you want to do, number one. So stay relevant. Play Sudoku, crosswords, play cards if you want to go to the club, play, go to an Nana Nani park. Do first of all, mindset, be relevant. Because the moment you decay, moment you have nothing to do, you'll become what we in Hindi call kitkiti. You will start doing small, then you become toxic to your son, daughter-in-law, children, grandchildren. Nobody likes human nature. Times have changed to have people who are negative or toxic around them. That's where half the problem starts. And as elderly people, and I think it's a very strong message for both the, and I'll come to the young. For an elderly person, to stay relevant, stay in the system is very important. And they need to also know where to draw a line, where to not over-prophesize, tell what I did in my childhood, this is how I lived. I lived in one bedroom with so-and-so. Now you all have six bedrooms, but nobody wants to hear sermonizing. Okay, it's a very important message for the elder gen. Live your life, be selfish to yourself, be a good. Also think, if I'm staying with my family, how can be of value to them? If they maintain that equilibrium and give space to their children, their grandchildren, whoever else it is, because everybody wants space. And if they have both couple are alive, then give space to each other also, because at that level, your companionship. So if you do that, you'll stay relevant, you will stay with the human connect, and you will also enjoy life personally. Yoga, there are so many things for an elderly. Now coming to the other side, so I've already told you, an elderly citizen, how he maintains the human connect, has to attempt, because we tend to get senile as we grow older. And why? It's because boredom, NUI sets in, you're not doing it, you're only full day watching some silly program on television which corrupts your mind, and saas bhi kabu bahu drama, nothing wrong with doing all that. But again, be like childlike, have more interest, that is number. From a younger generation, you have to understand, one day you'll also become old. So when you're staying with your senior citizens, your parents, your grandparents, please understand, they are old, getting older, they might forget things, you might have to speak louder because they have listening ability. So they need to be sensitized, as senior citizen needs to be sensitized, and they have to be told, they have to realize, not that, oh, I've given birth to you, like old Hollywood stuff, you know, whatever. So, but the younger people have sensitive of, because every one of us are going to become old one day. They have to be sensitive to the extent that, listen, at an older age, if a parent falls from a bathroom slip, it's going to be a big liability on the family and also going pain. So they have to understand, in a toilet, that you have to, those ham bars, you have to make it, right. See that they have used the toilet before,
friendly.
Clean it up, all that. So there is a sensitization required, okay? And they also need to understand, if the person, like there is, you know, when you're getting stroke, also medically be sensitive. And today, have a doctor on call, tomorrow anything goes. Because if one person falls ill, nobody understands the plight of the caregiver. And then that same child expects his wife the same service to his father as he would have done it. Forget it. Don't expect that. That expectation is wrong. Okay. So set the right expectation. Practical. Both sides have to be practical in the approach. Encourage your parents to move out. Encourage them to go out. Encourage them to take small breaks. Take them once in a while outside. Okay. So I think if the whole grandchildren, you have to, if you respect your parents, your son or child will also respect your. If you feel your father or mother are going out of board, go separately and tell them, mom, dad, pura relax karo, aise mat karo, itna questioning mat karo, you're too interfering. But tell them separately. Do not tell them in front of your spouse or children, because they will not respect. If you do not respect your parents, do not expect your children to. And the biggest problem for a parent, for an elder senior, is the disrespect. Again, we come to the human connect, the feeling, okay?
Correct.
That they have not. So I can go on this, we can do a separate session on this. So it's so close to my heart. But I will pause here, and I hope I've answered. So both way the human connect has been, then there'll be a life of enjoyment. Then they'll say, oh, dad, let's go and play tennis together. And then he'll feel better. So each first is give space. Both sides have space. Both sides have to come to an understanding as a husband and wife or a spouse. When they live together, they understand where to cross the limit, where to draw a line. It takes time. So I think we need to, without being rude, it has to be empathy. empathy, understanding, looking at the pain point and then.
I want to conclude this podcast with the biggest issue that is affecting humankind. That's about the male cohort and the female cohort of the world, or the male collective and the female collective. Obviously, we are trying to get the authors of Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus on our podcast shortly, which could obviously be a much wider discussion. But for today's podcast and the issue on human connect, Manoj, I wanted to know, you know, this whole social media and everything is a buzz these days with masculine toxicity, feminine toxicity, and different types of connect between male and female cohort of this world. You know, FWB, ORS, I don't know what. There are so many acronyms. Why do you complicate matters between men and women? And how do we have a very clean, clear-cut men-women relationship? How would you love to probably talk about this from the context of human connect between men and women?
Same. I think the fundamentals are the same. And I will all simplify it in life. I'll say all this jargon, it has, and I don't want to blame the Western world, because any world which has accelerated with industrialization, automation, has lost the human connect and then regained it. Sometimes the Western world accepts our philosophy more than we accept. It's a human, it's a cultural phenomenon. Coming to male, female, now it's she, her, me, him, all that thing is gender bias, gender sensitivity. So nothing right or wrong with that. Absorb what's going on. In earlier generation, LGBT community were not respected. I know, kind of give, but that's changing. With the younger generation, good point is the sensitivity of respecting is getting there. There is no longer a thing, oh, he's 40 or she's 50, why is he not married? That thing is changing. Otherwise, at our, you know, parents' age and all that, oh, 25, okay, you're not married. Is there something wrong with the right, wrong boy? So that is one part. Now, coming to a man and human relationship, simplicity, it's the same between the senior citizen and the child. Connect from the heart. A woman will have some now more economically holding, financially. She's no longer going to be what we call it, the goongi guy. In our patriarchal society, and we have been a patriarchal, let's say, there is a lot of expectation. Certain pockets, larger cities like Mumbai to a lesser extent. I think everybody has to realize one thing, that both sides have to be respected. Why are we dividing between male and female? Both have enough sensitivity. Sometimes I've seen a lady is not a housemaker, she's a breadwinner, but the husband has become a housemaker. Nothing wrong with that. You can't say, oh, you're sitting at home, you're a boy. I think this mindset first have to break. Number one. Now, coming to compatibility, we've also seen separation rates, divorce rates, majorly have some under the cloud. We've heard people having multiple relationships, all that which goes around. Again, not judging, because in the instant gratification world, there is a change. But for us to step back and culturally tell the younger generation, don't overexpect, have fair expect, have patience. Everything doesn't come overnight. Look at the times we can give examples, cultural example of our forefathers, fathers, they've lived like they also had their own challenges. But today, just because at a flick of a button, you can go to an app and look for multiple partners and all that. How do you know that same next partner is going to be as easy or good? Need to, unless there is a compelling reason. Have patience. Be sensitized. So suppose a man is working or one of the partners only working and not giving enough time to the partner. So I think more than that, spending time with each other, quality time, understanding what are the gaps between both of us, accepting. So the male cannot be a male MCD, male chauvinistic. No, I am right. Nothing. Times have changed. Men have to wake up. Similarly, women have to understand the man of the house is doing multiple tasks. Maybe a woman also does that. So I think it's sensitization. It's making it work. It's parents' responsibility. Sometimes a daughter or son will call, oh, I'm having problem. Okay, leave everything, come home. No, allow them to make their lives. Do not encourage us unless somebody is getting beaten up or whatever. It goes to the drastic. But these are challenges happen. So have patience. Sometimes a couple is married. A man financially goes to downturn. It happens in life. A woman can't say, oh, now my XYZ used to make that money. Now not bringing money home. Okay, times will change. That is where you are life partners, you are called. So again, there's a whole separate. I feel those listeners, those who are watching, my only request from the heart, let's not get carried away by the instant gratification. Challenging, selfish, change your mindset. So reflect inwardly. Ultimately, look for happiness. The moment you are happy with doing smaller deeds, this, that, create happiness outside. And you'll create happiness, your spouse, you will attract better. It is not by the Gucci bag you're carrying or the single malt you're drinking or the best thing or the page 3. That has very short left shelf life. Be sincere. The life has to be sincere. Be human. Connect. Magic will happen. And I trust you, everything will change. But it has to start.
Hey Manoj, we are unfortunately come to the end of time and in fact overstretched your time as well. But it's a real positive discussion on growing the human connect positively. You know, in terms of the coverage and the depth of what we discussed, we talked about the human connect in the corporate side, on the Indian culture side, man, woman, human connect, connect at different stages of life, connect in or disconnect due to social media and its vices and addictions, and obviously learnt a lot of things from you. In conclusion, I wanted to leave a parting comment. You know, your book started with a foreword by Rajkumar Hirani. And in conclusion, I can say his two movies, Three Idiots and Mumna by MBBS, summarizes all what we have discussed today. In both the movies, we had a very tough principle, which is the guiding principles on which our society is based. Then we had a gunda who reformed himself and gave human connect through hug. And finally, on the Three Idiots, we had a smart guy who taught a lot of life lessons connecting with his buddies or his batchmates at college. And those everlasting bonds and connect we have seen in both these movies. And I guess if I were to reflect back on our conversation and the book and what we have understood about human dynamics and relationship and connect through these two movies, I guess there is a lot to take away from our podcast today. I really love to thank you from on behalf of our team, our sponsors, that you have given us this time. And I really thank you for actually sending me your autograph book, which is here, The Human Connect. And there's a lot that we have gained from your book as well as your talk today. Thank you so much. And I definitely look forward to having a real human connect shortly in the future.
Thank you, KK. Thank you for your kind words. And I really, it's one of the best conversations I had. And as you would have realized, my purpose has been fundamental, the same. Be a better human, simplify things, less complicated, uncomplicated. Life is beautiful. Live that journey. We'll all be happy world. Happy individual leads to a happy world. God bless all.
Thank you so much. And God bless you as well. Look forward to connecting with you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.